Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet Ardy Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another. Amen. Hello?
Oh, you on the line?
Yes.
Didn't go out there. Okay, call me later.
Okay. All right. Bye. Sorry for the interruptions. I just want to welcome you to Pray One for Another Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. excuse me, every Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 4 p.m. And that's Tuesday through Fridays. See what happened? The devil is very busy today. But he is a liar, and God's word will go through. Amen. Praise be to God. So again, welcome you to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. So you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to say a prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. The Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God, is worth.
Lord, pick me up, Lord, and hold me in your loving arms. Protect me from the pressures of the day and remove the heaviness from my heart. Inspire me with the knowledge that you and I together can handle anything. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that's all you have to do is call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. In the meantime, while we're waiting, I will play another selection.
Well, come on, put your hands together. If you know you're going high in Jesus, I know I am. Come on, listen.
Strike
and put on my long white, y'all. Singing that head.
unto him who sits on the throne, and unto the Lamb that was slain, be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, forever and ever. Amen.
Worthy of our praise. Begin to worship His name today. angels and the 24 elders and the four living creatures bow before thee. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. And we, the children of God, today we say hallelujah to your name, God.
Amen. Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord our peace. And Judges 6 and 24 tells us Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it the Lord is peace, Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. You spoke to the wind and the waves, and you calmed them with just one word. You stilled the storm within us when we call on your name. You bring peace to our heart and soul when we abide in your presence. In you is the fullness of peace and truth, regardless of our pedigree, background, education, or status. You choose to raise us up and bring us peace in your name. Just as you delivered Israel through Gibeon, you can bring peace to those around us, through us, when we commit our life to you. In all we do, we praise you, for you are the author and finisher of our peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And all you have to do is call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. Bless the Lord. Okay, at this time, I will play another selection. And after the selection, I will come back with our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Praise God.
Heavens and on earth, in the seas and all their depths, Lord, you greater. He makes clouds rise from the earth, sending lightning with the rain, and Lord, you greater. Greater than all, greater than all, you're
God, it is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Which is entitled, The Ultimate Healer. And our scripture reading is in two parts. The first scripture reading is coming from Numbers chapter 21. And we're going to read verses 4 through 9. Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation where it does say, Then the people of Israel set out from Mount Hor, taking the road to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people grew impatient with the long journey, and they began to speak against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness? They complained. There is nothing to eat here and nothing to drink. And we hate this horrible manna. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. Then the people came to Moses and cried out, We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take away the snakes. So Moses prayed for the people. Amen. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord told him, make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. All who are bitten will live if they simply look at it. So Moses made a snake out of bronze and attached it to a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake could look at the bronze snake and be healed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Now we're going to go over to 2 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to read verses 4 through 7. Amen. And it says, He removed the pagan shrine, smashed the sacred pillars, and cut down the Asherah poles. He broke up the bronze serpent that Moses had made, because the people of Israel had been offering sacrifices to it. The bronze serpent was called Nehushtan. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before or after his time. He remained faithful to the Lord in everything, and he carefully obeyed all the commands the Lord had given Moses. So the Lord was with him, and Hezekiah was successful in everything he did. He revolted against the king of Assyria and refused to pay him tribute. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearing the reading and the hearing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. Now the text for this message is coming from 2 Kings 18:4. And it says, Hezekiah broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made. And again, the title is The Ultimate Healer. The writer says, when a medical treatment began to provide relief for a family member's severe food allergies, I became so excited that I talked about it all the time. I described the intense process and extolled the doctor who had created the program. Finally, some friends commented, "We think God should always credit for healing." Amen. Their statement made me pause. Had I taken my eyes off the ultimate healer and made the healing into an idol? The nation of Israel fell into a similar trap when they began to burn incense to a bronze snake, which God had used to heal them. They had been performing this act of worship until Hezekiah identified it as an adultery and broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made in 2 Kings 18:4. Several centuries earlier, a group of venomous snakes had invaded the Israelite camp. The snake bit the people and many died in Numbers 21:6. Although spiritual rebellion had caused the problem, the people cried out to God for help. Showing mercy, he directed Moses to sculpt a bronze snake, fasten it to a pole, and hold it up for everyone to see. People looked at it. They were healed. In Numbers 4:9, amen? Now think of God's gifts to you. Have any of them become objects of praise instead of evidence of his mercy and grace? Only our holy God, the source of every good gift, James 1:17, is worthy of worship. Amen. Question. How has God shown you his goodness through other people? And why is it so easy to give people credit for what God has done in your life? Think about those questions. Amen. Let us pray. Dear God, we worship you as the all-powerful God who hears our prayers. Thank you for sustaining our life and caring for us. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our Daily Bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Praise be to God. So again, You are listening to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory.
And answer me. You said, did you lay the earth's foundation? You said, have you command of sky and sea? Lord, I have no words, and I don't deserve thunder. You said, are you clothed in majesty? You said, all of this is for your glory. You said, that the Lamb will cover me. Lord, I have no
land. Here I am to proclaim my life worth more than diamonds and rubies and gold. It's alright if you try to put me to the test. My God is greater and can more than handle your mess. Quicksand, uh-oh, he thought I'd punch, oh no. Just like in a millionaire, he threw me a lifeline. Then he pulled me from the darkest place, left me in the richest way. New life, new thought, new swag, I knew you wish you had. Took me out when you had the chance. But God redeemed me and he gave me a chance to unlock the gates of hell. Your tactics can prevail. What my God had for me, supersede the enemy.
Amen. Jehovah Shalom. Worry plagues us as a nation. Spend billions of dollars on prescription drugs to help calm our anxiety. Peace is a luxury that large homes and high salaries don't seem to provide. Peace escapes many of us. We admit it escapes us more often than it should. With faith comes peace. With trust comes peace. With rest comes peace. Forgive us for lacking in all these. And give us the grace of your peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Again, you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. To God be the glory.
To see you. lift up your hands in the presence of the Lord. Every voice in this room, we have about another 15 seconds. I want you to open your mouth. We have sang for your glory. I will do anything. I wonder what type of praise you will give him until he releases his glory. Somebody raise up your hands and open your mouth now. Can I get somebody to cry out for God in this room? I'm only talking to those of you who are hungry for him. I'm only talking to those of you who are thirsty for him. Open up your mouth and begin to cry out for him.
praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
God, Jehovah Shalom, my heart is filled to overflowing with gratitude for the wonderful peace you offer to me. Fear and anxiety has so many causes today, and many of them are legitimate. Trials, dangers, health issues, loss. These things seek to steal my peace, but thank you for being ready and willing to offer this gift of peace to me. Thank you for making your peace available to me. If I but ask and believe, thank you for being my only true peace. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now as we get ready to go into my message for this evening, I just want to play one selection. And after the selection, I will come back with what thus says the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say it. Lift your voice.
Awesome.
Come on and testify. Awesome.
Awesome.
If you believe it.
Think about it. Savior of the whole world. Giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice.
My God is awesome. Awesome. Let us pray. Jehovah Shalom. I speak shalom. Amen. Into my body, into my cells, I speak shalom into my health, calming that which is irritated, aggravated somehow. I speak shalom into my mind, my thoughts, and my heart. I call on your name, Jehovah Shalom, to be present in all this and more. Shalom in my plans, in my future, in my relationships. Show yourself to me and reveal to me the choices I need to make to enter into an ever greater level of your peace. In Jesus' holy name, Amen, amen, and amen. Now, Lord God, remove self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. My scripture reading for this evening is coming from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. And again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, so they arrived at the other side of the lake, in the region of the Gennesaret. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained. Even with a chain, ever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was. He snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Then the evil spirit begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirit begged. "Let us enter." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him and everyone was amazed at what he told them. The word of the Lord is already blessed in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. The title of my message is Taming the Tombstone Terrorists. Amen? Taming the Tombstone Terrorists. Now, this text sits in the middle of several hopeless situations just prior to the events we just read. Jesus and his disciples were out on the sea during a tremendous storm. The disciples were certain that they were going to die. In their minds, they were in a hopeless situation. Now, when they were engulfed in that storm, the disciples were certain that they would die. Now, those men were seasoned fishermen, but they were helpless to solve their problem. But that storm out on the deep was no problem for the master of the sea. He calmed the storm and he calmed his men. Now, Jesus moves into a new set of impossible situations. He encounters a demon-possessed man. Now, this man was possessed by thousands of demons. He cannot help himself, and the people around him are helpless as well. Now, after this, Jesus will deal with a diseased woman and a dead girl. Now, all four of these situations appeared hopeless for a human perspective, from a human perspective. Amen? Yet, in each of these cases, Jesus proved that he was the master of them all. Amen? If that demon-possessed man were alive today, he would be sent off to live in a mental institution. That diseased woman would be sent to terminal care ward. And the dead girl would be sent to the cemetery. Now, as we move through this chapter, we are going to discuss that Jesus is not just the master of the deep. He is also the master of the demonic, the master of disease, and the master of death. He will demonstrate his power over all situations, problems, difficulties, and changes. Tonight, we will take a trip to the cemetery. We will watch as Jesus demonstrates his power over the spiritual realm. We will watch him deliver a man from a hopeless case of spiritual possessions and bondage. As we watch the Lord deliver this poor soul, we need to keep in mind that he can move in our lives with the same power. He can break the chains that binds us, and he can set us free. Hallelujah. So let me share these three phases of this encounter that offers hope to those in bondage. Today, I want to take these verses and preach about taming the tombstone terrorists. Amen? Now, in verses 1 through 5, let's consider the man. Now, the man's defilement. As this story opens, we are told that this man is held fast in the grip of the devil. Satan is the master of his life, and he is in a state of hopelessness and helplessness. Now, we are told that he has an unclean spirit. Then we find out that he is not just the home to one four spirits, but he is possessed by a legion of demons. In verse 9, legions in the Roman army could be from 2,000 to 6,000 men. Now in verse 10, as we read, we are told that when the demons left this man, they entered a herd of swine, that number 2,000. Now this man was totally under the control of the devil. This man's case is no different from the condition of every lost soul in the world today. What a pitiful shape to be in. He is in a state of defilement. Verses 3 through 4, the man's depravity. Okay? Two words factor heavily in this man's world. Those words are cemeteries and chains. Now, this man had his dwelling among the dead. The demons in him drove him away from the living, and he spent his life in the cemetery. But in those days, people were not usually buried in the ground. Tombs were carved into the hillside, and the bodies were placed there. Because of his demons, this man lived with bones and decaying corpse of the dead. Now, we are also told that the people around him tried their best to restrain him. They would catch him and bind him with fetters and chains. Fetters would have been attached to his feet, meaning shackles. Chains would have bound his hands, his arms, and torso. These man-made devices could not hold him. He broke them as though they were made of paper. Now, when we look at this poor man's soul, it is not hard to make the leap from him to the lost ones around us. They are trapped in the same state of pitiful depravity. The sin that possesses the heart of the lost sinner drives him to spend his days and waste his years with the dead. The lost sinner has no desire to be around the living. Death and the works of deadness are all they cared about. Of course, man has his method of trying to conquer and cure all the problems that plague humanity. Man has his jails, his prisons, his institutions, and his asylums. Man pushes his pills, his portion, and psychology as the answer to man's dilemma. The problem with man's effort to cure humanity's problem is that man's effort only treats the symptoms, not the cause of man's situation. Man acts like he acts and does what he does because he is a sinner. Lost people choose darkness over light because they hate the light. John 3:19 through 21. Lost people choose sin over the Savior because they are evil and totally given over to the pursuit of evil. Romans 3:10-23. Now let me add that a professing believer needs to examine his or her heart. When they begin to desire the works of darkness, you need to look at your spiritual condition. When you find reason for avoiding the light, excuse me, praise God. When you cannot sit through a preaching service, you have a spiritual problem. When you find reason to avoid the house of God, you have a spiritual problem. You are beginning to revert back to the old ways of the old man. There is a dangerous and frightening place to find yourself. Verse 5 also tells us that the man's desperation. Can you imagine the terror this man caused? He is up there in that cemetery. He is naked. He is running around like a wild man day and night. He cuts himself and his body is covered with blood and scars. He screams and yells in his torment. We do not know whether this man cut his body in an effort to find relief from his demons or whether the demons caused him to do it. We do not know why he shrieks, screams, and cries in those tombs. It may be that he did these things because he was desperately to be free. It may be that he did them because he was compelled to do them. What matter is this? He is in a desperate situation and needs help. Hallelujah to the Lord God. Whether you are lost and bound in sin or whether you are saved and out of God's will, there is only one cure for your condition. You do not need a pill. You do not need a psychiatrist. You do not need a priest. You do not need a program. You need Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is the antidote for the poison of sin. He is the cure for your condition. He is the solution to your problem. Get to Jesus and get help. Get the help you need. Hallelujah. That is the man's condition. It is horrible, but it could serve as a template that could be laid over millions of others' lives. In fact, there are people in this room, this city, and this country who are defiled, deprived, and desperate. They need help, and there is but one source for the help they need. His name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. In verses 16 through 13, let's consider the master. Verse 6 tells us the master's compassion. Everyone in that region feared this man. They fled in terror when he came near. They trembled in their houses at the sound of his shriek of torment. Shriek, torment. Children were warned to beware of that crazy man in the cemetery. Everyone avoided this man. Everyone, that is, but Jesus. Jesus Christ did not avoid this man. He made a special trip across the sea and braved a storm simply because he wanted to deliver this one man from the grip of Satan. Hallelujah, Jesus. Everyone else feared, avoided, and despised this man. Jesus had compassion on him. Jesus cared about the condition he was in, and Jesus moved to do something about it. This man wasn't even a Jew. He was a Gentile, and still the Lord reached out to him. Hallelujah. Thank God for the boundless love and endless compassion of our Savior. Praise the Lord, everyone. There is no hopeless cases with him. We see people and sometimes we think that some are a lost cause. We may wonder if they can or will be saved. Well, I cannot tell you for sure that they will be, but I can look around this very room and I can see case after case of men and women that others had written off as a lost cause. You are here and saved today because the Savior had compassion on you. Glory to the Father. He loved you in spite of your sins. And he came to where you were to deliver you from the bondage that gripped your heart and life. He loved you enough to die for you on the cross, Romans 5:6-8. And he loved you enough to come and set you free. No one is beyond the compassionate touch of the Master, not Zacchaeus in his tree, not Saul of Tarsus with his agenda of hate and destruction, not the Ethiopian eunuch with his religious confusion, and not even you with all the baggage you carry. There is a compassionate Savior waiting to set you free. Jesus sees people with a different set of eyes than we do. We see their sins. He sees what he can make of their lives. We see a drunk. He sees a deacon. We see a drug addict. He sees a preacher. We see a harlot. He sees a choir member. Hallelujah to the Lord. That is how lives are changed when they come to Jesus. He will take what you give him, and he will give you something much more precious in return. You give Jesus your crab apples, he'll give you back a golden delicious. You give Jesus your thorn, he'll give back an American rose. You give Jesus your acorn, he'll give you back a mighty oak. Give Jesus your Jacob, the schemer. He'll give you back an Israel, a prince with God. Give Jesus a Simon, the cursing fisherman. He'll give you back Simon Peter, a mighty preacher. You give Jesus your Saul, persecutor of the church. He'll give you back Paul, militant, missionary, apostle. You give yourself to Jesus, you'll be amazed at what he'll do with you. It's amazing. It's amazing what Jesus can do when a life is placed in his hands. 2 Corinthians 5:17. In verse 6 tells us the Master's confrontation. Now this man who ran from everyone else ran to the Lord Jesus Christ and fell at his feet. The demons that drove this man away from all human relationships drove him to the feet of Jesus. Why? They did not fall down before Jesus to worship him as Lord. They merely fell down in acknowledgement of his deity. They were bowing in subjection to the Lord of Lords. Jesus confronts the demons, ordering them to release their captive. The demons acknowledge the deity and authority of Jesus, and they begged him not to torment them. That is, they begged him not to send them to hell, Luke 8 and 31. The demons then request that they might be allowed to enter into a herd of swine that was feeding nearby. In verses 11 through 12, Jesus gives them permission, and they leave the body of the man and enter the swine. Verse 13, when they do, the swine cannot tolerate the demons and kill themselves by running into the sea. In verse 13, this is a strange passage, but it teaches us some important truths. First, it teaches us that all spirits are subject to Jesus. They recognize his authority. They must have his permission to do the things they do. In verses 10 through 13, Jesus is the master, even of the demons. That gives us hope today. It often looks like the devil is winning this thing. If you think that, then you need to read Revelation 20 and 10. That verse tells us that Satan will be cast into the lake of fire. This war is over, and Jesus is the victor. This passage also teaches us that man is the most depraved creature in existence. This one man could tolerate a legion of demons. In verse 9, a Roman legion consists of around 6,000 soldiers. If you do the math, there were 2,000 swine in that herd. That comes out to 3 demons per pig. They could not tolerate the presence of the devil. They committed suicide. Those pigs could not stand just a few demons. Yet this man was able to live with thousands. Just illustrates the human capacity for evil. Praise be to God. Verse 13. The master's command. Every effort of man had failed this poor soul. Everything he had tried to retain a grip on, his own sanity had proven useless. But once, one word from Jesus, and he was free. That is the glory of salvation. Man can try his religious works, but they will all fail to save. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, man can try his pop psychology, but it will fall far short of the changing the heart of a sinner. Man can try his pills, his programs, and his practices, but they will never change the lives of those hell-bound sinners. There is one solution to the problem of sin, and his name is Jesus. There is only one hope for the fallen soul, and his name is Jesus. There is only one hope for those trapped in a life of sin, and hope's name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, in verses 14 through 20, consider the miracles. Now, verses 14 through 16, he was changed by Jesus. When the pigs ran down the mountain and killed themselves, the servant who were tending the herd went to town and told their masters what had happened. The town folks came to see for themselves. When they arrived, they heard all the details they could see, the evidence of a changed life right before their eyes. Jesus changed them. No longer is he running around crying out and cutting himself. Now he is calm and seated beside Jesus. What a change. That's how it works. You cannot meet Jesus and remain the same. He changes all those who come to him. Jesus clothed him. No longer is he naked, but now he is clothed. This is just further proof of his change. What we need to notice here is that what Jesus does in the heart of a man is always worked out on the outside of a man, Matthew 12:35. Jesus calmed him. We are told that he is in his right mind where there has been turmoil and agitation. There is now perfect peace. He has been changed spiritually, physically, and mentally. Praise be to God. What a picture change that salvation brings to the converted sinner. Jesus literally gives everyone he saves a brand new life. Jesus changed him from the inside out. Jesus started with this man's real problem. A bad heart is every lost man's real problem. His sin isn't his problem. The outward manifestation of sin are merely the fruit of the problem. A wicked heart is the root. In verses 17 through 18, he was committed to Jesus. The people of that region were afraid of Jesus, and they demanded that he leave their country. For those people, this episode was just too much. They might have been able to handle a little preaching. But when Jesus started changing lives and costing them money, they wanted no part of him. So they drove him away. And by the way, there are a lot of people like that around today. Just give them a Sunday morning service and they are satisfied. Maybe they will even come back Sunday night or Wednesday, but don't ask them to do any more than that. When the Lord wants more, they rebel and push him away. My brothers and sisters, when you come to a place in your life where you are satisfied, you have problems. When you come to a place where you cannot sit through a preaching service, you have a problem. When you refuse to give Jesus a little more because it will interfere with your life and your routine, you have a problem. Most folks want just enough Jesus to make them feel good and to keep them out of hell. Jesus isn't a good luck charm. He is a life-changing, eternity-altering Savior. He wants more than just a few hours a week. He wants everything you have and everything you are to be laid on the altar of surrender. We had better be careful how we treat the Lord. He might just give us what we want. When we teach our children that other things in life are more important than worship and the things of God, don't be surprised when they walk away from the Lord later on. When we tell the Lord by our own actions that we are satisfied and that we do not want any more, do not be surprised when he takes away what we already have. If we honor him, he will bless us. If we treat him like we can make it without him, we can't make it without him, he may just give us what we ask for. Look at the contrast. The townspeople want Jesus to leave. The man who has just been saved wants to be with Jesus. That's what salvation will do for you. It will ruin you. It will ruin you. When you get saved and your heart is right with the Lord, you will love him, his house, his word, and his people. Wherever Jesus is, that's where you will want to be too. Amen. Praise be to God. In verses 19 through 20, he was commissioned for Jesus. Now, Jesus refused the man's request to go with him. Instead, Jesus sent him back to his home to tell others what the Lord had done for him. And that is precisely what he did. He went into Decapolis, which means the 10 cities, and he preached the gospel of grace to all who would listen. Can you picture in your mind how this scene must have played out? The people see him coming. They cringe in fear. Children hide behind their mothers, doors are slammed shut, and people run in fear to hide from the madman. But wait, something is different today. Yes, it's still him. He still bears the scars in his body. But the look in his eye is different. He isn't screaming. He is preaching about a man named Jesus. He is running around like a wild man. He is calm and sane, and he is talking about how Jesus has changed his life. He isn't naked. He is clothed and peaceful and changed. The people listen to his story and they are touched. Some are no doubt saved. What a difference Jesus makes. We are commanded to share the gospel. In Mark 16:15, Matthew 28:19-20. We are to go to a lost world and tell them the same thing this man was commanded to tell how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. People might argue with us about our doctrines, but they cannot refute our testimonies. Nothing is more powerful than the testimony of a changed life. Jesus tamed the tombstone terrorists, and he can tame you. One of the most notoriously bad characters that ever lived in New York was Orville Gardner. He was the trainer of prize fighters and companions of all sorts of hard characters. His reputation was so thoroughly bad that he was called Awful Gardner. He had a little boy whom he dearly loved, and this boy died. A short time after his boy's death, he was standing in the bar of a New York saloon, surrounded by a number of his companions. The night was sweltering, and he stepped outside the saloon to get a little fresh air. As he stood out there and looked up between the high buildings at the sky above his head, a star was shining down upon him. And as he was looking at it, he said to himself, "I wonder where my little boy is tonight." Then the thought came to him quick as a flash. Wherever he is, you will never see him again unless you change your life. Touched by the Spirit of God, he hurried from the saloon to the room where his godly mother was. He went in and asked his mother to pray for him. They spent the whole night in prayer, and toward morning, Awful Gardner found peace and gained victory. Gardner was the victim of an overwhelming appetite for drink and had in his house a jug of whiskey at the time. He did not dare to keep it, and did not know what to do with it. And finally, he took it down to the river, got into a boat, rowed over to an island. He set the liquor on a rock and knelt down. And as he afterwards said, "I fought that jug of whiskey for a long time, and God gave him perfect deliverance." He did not dare to break it, lest the fumes should tempt him. He did not dare to leave it, lest someone else get it. Finally, he dug a hole and buried it. He left the island a free man. Awful Gardner became a mighty preacher of the gospel. You today, are you lost and in the grip of sin? Jesus can set you free. Are you out of God's will and trapped in pride and bitterness? Jesus can set you free. Do you need his touch? Do you need his compassion? Do you need his life-changing power? Friend, What you need is but a prayer of faith away. Come to Jesus. Come home. Obey his voice. He weathered the storm on the sea to get to this man. He weathered the storm of Calvary to get to you. Is he calling? Come to him now, won't you? And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time.
90 seconds.
And all you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart, I now welcome you to the body of Christ. And all you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you to a good Bible teaching church. Amen. Now the benediction. Okay. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. I pray that this message was a blessing unto you as it was unto me. Jesus is calling you. Won't you answer the call right now?
These people have too many excuses.
Amen. Amen. So, I want to thank you and also thank you for showing up in the spirit and didn't find it robbery to hear the word of God this evening. Amen. So, and I'm glad that we were able to be on tonight, because I know that I did say that we will wouldn't be on today because of the weather, and that we were going to bring a message in the park. We was going to evangelize, but that didn't happen. So to God be the glory that we was able to be on tonight and to bring across a message to the people. Praise be to God. So on behalf of my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, my co-host, Sister Barbara, the Fivefold Ministry, and all of our guests online and those on the internet, we'd like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow at 6 p.m. when I will, excuse me, tomorrow is Saturday. We will meet again tomorrow at 10 a.m. when our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins will come and bless our hearts with a mighty word from God. Amen. And following Apostle Mother Wiggins will be our poetress, Barbara Amore. And following our poetry will be Talk in the Sanctuary with Pastor Kathy and Stephen DeBose. Amen. So God bless you. Have a wonderful evening and shalom. And see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. I'm Pray One for Another. And on that note, we are going out on All Belongs to You. Praise God.
thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.